Translation by Emperor Porpai's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thus, Mahatma Vidura, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsman, remained there for a certain period just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother, and in this way bring happiness to all others. Purport. Saintly persons like Vidura must be treated well as a denizen from heaven. In those days, denizens of the heavenly planets used to visit homes just like that of Maharaj Yudhisthira. And sometimes persons like Arjuna and others used to visit the higher planets. Narada, a spaceman who can travel unrestrictedly, not only within the material universe, but also in the spiritual universes. Even Narada used to visit the palace of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and what to speak of other celestial demigods. It is only the spiritual culture of the people that concerned and makes interplanetary travel possible, even in the present body. Sorry, I'll repeat that again. It is only the spiritual culture of the people concerned that makes interplanetary travel possible, even in the present body. Maharaj Yudhisthira, therefore, received Vidura in a manner of reception offered to the demigods. Mahatma Vidura had already adopted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his paternal palace to enjoy some material comforts. He accepted out of his own mercy what was offered to him by Maharaj Yudhisthira. But the purpose of living in the palace was to deliver his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, who was too much materially attached. Dhritarashtra lost all his state and descendants in a fight with the Maharaj Yudhisthira, and still, due to his sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhisthira. On the part of Maharaj Yudhisthira, it was quite in order to maintain his uncle as befitting manner. But acceptance of such magnanimous hospitality by Dhritarashtra was not at all desirable. He accepted because he thought there was no alternative. Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. It is the duty of enlightened souls to deliver fallen ones, and Vidura came for that reason. But talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of all the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. This is the way of spiritual realization. The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul. And by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect stage of self-realization. Om Adhyana Tim Harandasya Janan Shana Salakeya Chakshuhun Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancho Kaupachubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanabheyo Vaishnavabheyo Namo Namaha. And these two prayers, of course, you could say it's a reflection of Vidura's mercy. These two prayers, they ask for the mercy of the previous acharyas and those that were listening there, whom he highly regarded as probably fit for listening, but also not only fit for listening, but somehow that he might be helpful in his words, what he had to say, not only to Dhritarashtra, but to them as well. So it was a special mission Vidura to help his elder brother. Really interesting, especially, you know, he left home initially. He left the palace from the insult of Duryodhana. And he thought he'd journey for a while and see the holy places. But not only that, he met Maitreya Rishi and started hearing from him. This gave him a pure nature. This hearing from a self-realized soul, it changed him and transformed him from a person who'd been rejected by his family into another person, a person who would be able to be transforming other people. He Maitreya Rishi was an empowered acharya, and so here he says, saintly persons like Vidura must be treated well, as like a denizen of heaven. And the heavenly planets, they used to visit the homes of all the people. The heavenly planets used to visit the homes like of maybe Yudhisthira, and sometimes persons like Arjuna would even go to the higher planets themselves. Narada, the spaceman, it says, he travelled unrestrictedly, not only within the material universes, but also in the spiritual universes. I can't help wondering about Prabhupada, you know. How he travelled unrestrictedly. He was like Narada Muni. But also, he somehow, his contact with the spiritual world was that of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and these great literatures given to us by the acharyas. So he went to the spiritual world as well. He was in that this special category of, you could say, he felt compassion. He'd come not for his own comfort or realization, but he came out of an instruction from his spiritual master, whom he was attracted to listening to. He found a sound vibration that penetrated his heart. And that sound vibration, when he wanted to carry out the order of his spiritual master, became the sound vibration of his spiritual master. He was enthusing the other conditioned souls, just like Vidura, was somehow he came to change Dhritarashtra from his, you could say, helpless state of his own mentality into one where that maybe he need to be woken up. You know, they say wake up sleeping songs, the great acharyas, don't they? They tell us this. But it is a wake-up time for all of us in this world at the moment, and it will be continuously through the age of Kali. This isn't only a blip, you know, it's a continuing process. and to know the special nature of the human form of life, where we can understand by the grace of the devotees, advanced devotees, who are giving us or passing it on to us. It's an opportunity we should not let go. Not only to save ourselves, but, you know, that's not the only thing. You see, he says, Lord Chaitanya, he says, may I come again, Nadahanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Vajagadishaya Mama Jamani Ahe Tuki Tivaya. So he wants to come back wherever it is for devotional service. He doesn't want the trappings of this world, beautiful women, money, and a material position or followers. He said, there's no value there. There's no value. There's only value in the nature of the soul, which is service. And then it goes, Ainandatana jakin karam patitam mam vishami bhavam buddho kripaya tava patapankaja sutita tuli satrashivichinda. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor. Yet, somehow or other, I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And so we can understand that there's a realization there that these wonderful prayers by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have found the essence. Shikshastakam is the essence, and I always felt that they said that these were the most important things. They've got everything in, all sastras in them. So if we learn them, and you haven't got a book, remember these prayers as best you can, because it's all there. It'll hold our hands in a place where there's no hands to be held, you know, and which we need. We need this spiritual hand of help coming through. So then it says here, he said, even Narada used to visit the home of Yudhisthira, what to speak of other celestial demigods. And he says here, Maharaj Yudhisthira therefore received Vidura in a manner of reception offered to the demigods. Mahatma Vidura was also adopted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his paternal palace to enjoy some material comforts. That's very interesting. I'm always reminded of this by Gaur Govinda Swami, how when he took sannyas, somehow he left home. But he hadn't taken sannyas as such, but in his heart he was a sannyas. But he was looking for that person. He was looking for that person who would that elevate him to a status that he could help others. You know, he'd heard it all his life, this culture, this spirituality from his family and his heritage, you know, going back generations. So, but he then, you know, had 7 children. How can a person do this? You know, that's just an amazing thing. But they knew he was going to leave somehow or other, that He made in family life his in a detached way of obligation that he'd been committed to by his own family. But he wanted him to marry. That was it. And he did it. But Krishna never lost him. He did it. But then he left. And so Maharaj Yudhisthira received Vidura in the manner ordered by the demigods. So then He accepted the mercy that was offered to him by Maharaj Yudhisthira. But the purpose of living in the palace was to deliver his elder brother. So that's interesting. Prabhupada would accept any accommodation, whether it be a palace, or like in Bhubaneswar in his last days, you know, his last year in this planet, where he had very austere conditions in the hut at Bhubaneswar. And he spent that time there. I can't remember how long it was. But Prabhupada had gone into the 10th canto at that particular place. He'd started the 10th canto. And Gaur Govinda Swami's mission was to get him electricity so he could translate and do what he needed to do. And the devotees there, they were living in very austere situation, which was previously a jungle. And here we have, Vidura, he's accepting the hospitality, as Prabhupada accepted Gaur Govinda's hospitality to open the last temple that Prabhupada would found in ISKCON, which was Krishna Balaram temple. And he did it he waited for Lord Nityananda's appearance day to do that. You know, all that time. This was very significant to Prabhupada. Orissa was a special place. And Lord Jagannath's there. But somehow, this temple was going to be Lord Jagannath's dwelling place. It wasn't going to be that everybody could go to. That everybody will be accepted in, whether an Indian body or a white body. So this is Prabhupada's message to us. You know, but he asked, like Haridas Thakur, that somehow we accept the austerity, even when going to Jagannath Puri itself, to accept their hospitality, which was only a circumambulation for the European body. I say only, but it's the perfect darshan, you know, because if you accept it, if you don't resent it, the darshan will be there. And so it's what you see actually when you go to these places that makes the pilgrimage our mentality. So, okay, so nearly, I'll just keep an eye on the time. Again, I'm trying to stick to the purport as much as I can. He says, still, out of sense of helplessness, he wanted to help his brother. And he didn't feel ashamed of Yudhisthira, because somehow, you know, when you do something wrong, he's in a lamenting condition. Lamentation is in the mode of ignorance, because it doesn't respond to spiritual talks. So lamentation, whatever happens to you, whatever difficulty you go through, if you lament, don't take it in the way of a sudra. Don't say that it's hopeless. What can I do? I'm helpless. So, you know, maybe, you know, I should give up. That's not there. So what we're all going through in different ways, you know, in our devotional service, there's no giving up, not really. Krishna won't let you go. And he says he wanted to, he said he wanted to maintain his anger, his uncle in a befitting manner. This is Yudhisthira. He was looking after Dhritarashtra because he felt that actually he needed looking after, that somehow, but it didn't help him. We can do many things we think we're helping, but we're not. He couldn't help himself. And this is a real good message. because somehow or other that we must learn to take real help, like eventually Deuteraster will get, that we've got to be careful of charity in the mode of, you could say, passion or goodness, that it's not sentiment. In a way, a person somehow has to be woken up and awakened to the spiritual reality that there's no other way, that somehow we must now create our new body by chanting Hare Krishna. And then it says here, Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and to give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. It is the duty of enlightened souls to deliver fallen ones, and Vidura came for that reason. But talks of a spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing from him patiently. And so there is some happiness in hearing about Krishna, hearing from Bhagavatam. It's like no other taste, actually. You know, there's very little that, you know, from my point of view, I used to read a lot of comics, science fiction and all that sort of thing. And it was all about the fantasy that in the future, everything will be okay. And that we'll have this civilization that, in fact, we'll all have big heads with big brains and, you know, strange things like that. We'll mutate. And this will be our advancement. But that's in the material world. There wasn't spirituality there. It sort of had an element of maybe grandeur of the demigods and things like that. But they're living in the place of this, the heavenly planets. And so, though he was treated like a denizen of heaven, he was a denizen from the spiritual world. And this is what struck me. They treated him like a denizen of heaven. Now, the demigods are also devotees, that's true. And they're all doing service for Krishna. But somehow, Vidura revealed his nature as a highly elevated soul sent by the Supreme Lord to somehow, what does it say here? To rescue and to act upon the dormant soul, the dormant heart, sorry, of the conditioned soul. And by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfection of self-realization. And I remember reading that actually attraction for family and home is there, especially when my daughter rang the other day. And I had to be very careful internally. You know, because I know that she wanted to make contact, but she wanted to make contact to see if I was okay. And so I could reassure her in that way, that somehow or other, that we're really well looked after in spite of everything that's happening. But I then asked her, but what about you? Are you? How are you getting along? And this is important. Because we should reciprocate with an inquiry of our good health. How are you? You know, it doesn't mean that you detach from them and you don't want to know what's going on. No, somehow that there should be also a relationship there. And so it's very interesting. So really, there's though there is attachment in me, it tells me something else, that where I am is a good place, actually. Because I know, knowing me, with my sentiment, I might submit to their needs. Why don't you come and stay? I say, I can't at the moment. It's very important that I stay here. And so, but she accepted it. So that was it. And so then, he says, by continuously hearing, we can estrange the self, the state of self-realization. And that is what we all need to do. We must continually hear and read Prabhupada's books, because that will take us to the other world. That's for certain. It's a boat to take us there. And that's where we should be looking, not this material world. And the last word, we're back to Siddhanta. This is 2 minutes. And I've read this before. Question to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati by his disciple. Why is there so much misery in this world? And Sarasvati Thakur replies, the Supreme Lord is saying, I have arranged so much misery, so much pain, so much trouble and danger, not to make you suffer, but to teach you that all this misery is unnecessary. So you will search for the happiness that is eternally desirable, the joy that is eternally adorable. And so that's the message of Prabhupada. He's given us a message to search for that place, and which is what our job is, to give to others. And once we start to speak to people, that will carry you. I can remember in the summer, down on the Isle of Wight, there's all these semi-clad women, they're coming up to the book table. And I thought, oh no, don't come. You know what I'm like. This is my weakness, dear Lord. I used to say inside. I think, you know, but directly I started speaking about what was in the book, I forgot them. It was a wonderful thing. Just the act of speaking what was in this book or a book, somehow, you know, I was lifted. It was like I was being looked after, just by the words that I wanted to express what was there, and share, you know, what it means. So you're never unprotected if you try and also pass it on, like Prabhupada. It's very good. It'd be good for you. It's medicine. You know, medicine of the ailing heart. Oh, it's too much, it's too much, too much. But it isn't. That's why we share with each other. We try and help each other now, in this time, in whatever way we can, and be considerate and tolerant. So I think that's what I can think to say on this particular verse. Any comment, question?